Praise God. Okay, how many of you in here are single? Do you mind telling us single? So that's great combination, and the rest of you must be married. Because if you're not single, you are probably married. And we have a treat for you today. We have a panel here that I'm going to introduce to you in a little bit. These ladies are all women that are devoted, committed, and serve here at the Rock Church. They are women just like you, being in the same situation you find yourself in their relationships, in their homes, and they have amazing testimonies. They have not by any means arrived anywhere. Let's just get that straight, okay? And they will be the first ones to tell you. You just think you got it down, you get tested in it again. So they are here because I really believe they have a word of encouragement for you, a message for you, because they come from places that many of you can identify with. And we're going to introduce them, and we're going to have them share with us a little bit about their situations and their lives. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to pose questions to them. This is the way we're going to do the questions. You each got a little piece of paper. If you didn't, you will be. They're handing out paper there. Just hold it nearby as we talk, and you have a question, write it down, and then towards the end we're going to ask you to hand it in, and we may not get to all the questions, but we'll go through the questions and give them some of the questions to answer. That good? So as you listen to them, you have a question for them specifically, you can put their name on it, or if it's just a general question, you can pose it and we're going to try to answer it. I want to read you something that I found in a little devotional. It just happened to be my devotional, I think it was yesterday. Listen to this. This is kind of a funny story. It says, I was watching my five-year-old granddaughter play with her toys. Okay? Five-year-old, play with toys. At one point, she staged a wedding, first playing the role of the mother who assigned specific duties. You know? The kind of shunting everybody around. Okay. Then suddenly becoming the bride with her teddy bear groom. She picked him up and said to the minister presiding, now you can read us our rites. Okay, that's funny. Without missing a beat, she became the minister who said, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be held against you. You have the right to have an attorney present. You may kiss the bride. I thought that was hilarious. That is how some people feel in relationships. You find yourself, you decided to get married, and then you find yourself in a place, it's like, okay, what are my rights? Where did my rights go? You have the right to remain silent, is the men many times saying that, right? They plead that one. So just to emphasize the difference between men and women, we just want to be very real and honest with you. We have a couple slides we want to show you, okay? Look at this. Differences between men and women. Let's see if they can access that. Okay, find a woman you need time and money. Therefore, woman equals time and money. Time is money, so time is money. Therefore, women equals money and money. Money is the root of all problems, and there is the equation of it, the problem. Therefore, women equal problems. And it's like, okay, that's the science of women according to some people. There's another slide. We know that's not true, right? That's just what some people think. Okay, look, chances, okay, go back. Chances of a man winning an argument while you're dating, whoa, it's like whatever, honey. And now you decided, okay, this is going to be forever. And then the woman starts, you know, men start winning less engagement. And look at that. Now you're married. It's just like nothing. Guys have no chance for the most part. This is how men feel. If you didn't know it, this is how men feel, okay? There's another slide. Okay, skip that one. It's very funny, but it's a lot to read. Go to the next one. Okay, I think this is hilarious. This is the instrument panel. A man, he's just on or he's off. You know? You give him this whole problem, and he answers the whole thing with one word. And then ready to move on. And we're like, no! What about lights going off and it's red lights and green lights and we are all freaking out. And the man says, just switch, one switch. So these are truly, truly funny to look at, but this is what's happening in relationships. Let's look at one more.
Yep. Oh my gosh, that's so
The men, they are hunters by nature. They get their gun. They go into the shopping mall and they go straight to the khaki pants they want.
Yeah.
They take out their gun, they shoot that thing, they pay for it, they bag it, and they're out of there. And we say, no, they have khaki pants still in that one, khaki pants in that one. So for men, I think it's totally boring, personally. But women do all those things. We spend 3.5 hours, cost us 800, a man 6 minutes and 33. Now, it really helps to know these things before you even get married. This is a really good session for you who are single. Those of you who are married, you may be in something that you don't know what you're in. And if you have tensions and struggles, just part of it you will always have, but part of it is skill. Part of it is somebody having to come alongside you and teach you some things. To say to you, now listen, when this and this happens, try this. And you may think, okay, it doesn't make sense. I've never tried that. I've never done that. But those may be the things that actually work in a marriage. Because marriage is God's idea. Okay? If you take anything home, God's idea. He instituted it. So if you go at it without God, you're in trouble any which way. You're just going to go around and around and cry over the same things, get offended over the same things, getting mad over the same things. And if you're sitting here and say, yeah, I know what that's like. Even if you're in any relationship, you get mad over the same things over and over and over. It's time for you to start doing something else. Okay? So we hope that today you will be inspired by the Holy Spirit, that you will hear the word that is for you, and that you will go home and actually apply these things and try it out in your marriage or in your relationships, and God will bless you. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for relationships. We thank you for people. We thank you for husbands and friends and wives and sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, and family was your idea, God, and marriage is your idea, Father. So thank you that you lead us here, and you know everybody's heart in the audience. You know where everybody's at. So we ask that you meet them, and we know you do meet them right where we are today. So speak, O Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start introducing to you. Let's just start on this end. This is Leah. Leah is representing the newlywed. She's been married for a very short time, less than a year. She is an employee here at the church. So, and she's also related to one of our pastors and her family. She grew up. She's a rock baby, a rock kid. She's been single up to very recently. So she may address some things about being single and godly. And then about newly wed. She's in 20-something. And that's the only age decade we're going to reveal for the rest of the panel.
Hi, ladies. Like she said, my name is Leah. I'm 25 years old. I've been married for a little bit over 9 months. And so I just wanted to kind of explain a little bit about myself and who I am. Like she said, I'm homegrown. I've been going to the church since I was 12 years old. I actually got saved here at the church, and then I've just been raised here. And I actually graduated at a very young age. I graduated at 16 years old, and then I started going to college. So I actually started dating at like a very young age. So, I've dated some nice guys, and I've dated some guys that probably made my mother start smoking. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. She doesn't really smoke. Okay. But, no, I'm just playing with you guys. But, I wanted to talk to you girls, especially because I was single up until 23 years old. Single meaning, you know, I dated some guys, and then right before I met my husband, I actually was waiting on God. And I want to talk to you girls about that, too, because when you go fishing And depending on the bait that you throw out is what kind of fish that you're going to get. And so I want you girls to be conscious of that, because that's something that I had to learn. Depending on what kind of bait, what you're wearing, what you're doing, where you meet them, where you meet them. That's a good one, because if you meet them in church, you know, that's good. If you meet them at a bar, not so good. Southside Saloon. No. All right? So, but for me, right before I actually met my husband, I had decided to God, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get married. I'm just going to, you know, throw it out the door and just kind of, you know, I was very, very happy being single. And I think that's very important, because what you need to do before you get married is to know who you are in Christ. Because what you do is you take a whole person and another whole person, and then you become one. You don't want to be somebody who's going to be dependent on a guy to bring you happiness. And you don't want to be looking around, oh, I'm single, I have to get married. If I get married, all of my problems are going to disappear. They're not.
Yeah.
I'm just being real. Can we be real right now? They're not going to disappear. They're actually just going to be a huge Band-Aid, and they're going to get worse. You know? And so with me, I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to go full force with God. I don't care if I get married, whatever. You know, having fun, going to shift, just, you know, living my life for God and just being who I am. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, going along. God's like, see that guy? You're going to marry him. I'm all... get out, you know, like,
seriously? No, before you knew him?
No, while I knew him, yeah. But like, I had known him for a long time, and I just never even thought of him like that at all.
Did you tell him?
No. Oh God, no. No, because people have thrown that line at me before. God told me I was going to marry you. God didn't tell me, so, you know, don't you think it'd be kind of like a partnership or something like that? I don't know. So I guess I didn't get that memo. But for me, God told me, you know, you're going to marry, because I had been friends with him for a very long time. Never even thought of, especially because there's a big age difference between me and my husband. So I never even thought of him, you know, at all like that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, you're cool, I guess, whatever, you know? And so then I didn't say anything, because I was just like, well, you know what, God, if it's you, then it will be you. Because if it's God today, then guess what, girls? It's going to be God tomorrow. Because if he speaks to you, you just keep doing what God told you to do. You don't have to be like, wait, God said I'm going to marry you. You know, I'm like, when he opens the door in the morning, hey, you know, no, not a good idea. Don't do it, all right? So what I did is I was just waiting for God. You know, I'm like, well, okay, God, you know what? If it's you, then it will be you. And then God just had it come to pass. And so we dated, and then we just both knew that it was God, and we got married back in last October. And so it's been an adventure ever since. But seriously, it's an adventure that I recommend to everybody. Unless, of course, you guys are like a Paul, then that's cool, you know. But for me, it's awesome. I mean, marrying my husband was the best thing that I've ever done aside from giving my life to Christ. I married my best friend. And I guess what I would say about, like, what the hardest part for me when I got married is really just being not selfish. Is that okay to say? I'm a selfish person. That's why I don't have any kids, because I'm like, nah, I'm not ready, Lord. I'm just trying to love my husband. Do I really like need somebody else to not be selfish for? Give me a break here, right? But really it's an adventure, and it's awesome. And you take this person who grew up totally different from you. You know, and you guys might have the same beliefs in some things, but some things maybe you don't. And maybe he has certain habits that you're like, why? Why would you ever do that? You know, chewing. I'm like, it's like microphones. I'm like, no. You know, and then I have things that irritate him. But it's working together as a partnership that really is like the awesome thing. And hello, it's like, you know, we are the bride of Christ. So it's a mirror image of our relationship with God, you know, working together with him. And so I think the hardest thing is coming together on everything and being in agreement with everything and just, you know, communicating to each other, especially with finances, I would say is a big deal. Yeah, because, you know, it's like before when I was single, I was like, yeah, I'm going over here, I'm going to shop over here, you know, like exactly that, you know, on a repeat. But, you know, I really had to learn how to budget. He had to learn how to budget. We both lived with our parents before we got married, so it was totally like, whoa, you know. So I would say that's the hardest thing. But the best thing is getting to know him and having a best friend, having somebody with you all the time, like an accountability partner. We recently just started getting up in the morning, because I'm a night person and like mornings and me do not mix. And I heard God say, get up in the morning and go running and then read your word with your husband. So I'm like, Are you sure? Right? Yeah, okay. I can do that. Okay. So, you know, and we just go and we read our word. We have fellowship, and it's seriously the best thing in the world.
That is awesome. Isn't it so sweet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So amazing. You know, and if you're sitting here and saying, she's young, she knew the Lord, I wish I did. The Bible says God restores everything that has been stolen from you. So it does not matter where you're at. If you're not experiencing this joy in your marriage or being single, happily single, God is in the house.
That's right.
And God wants to do for you exactly the blessings that He's done. You just have to take it. You have to believe it. So we have precious Tracy Ogando. How many of you were in church last night? Her husband was the preacher, Pastor Paul Ogando, the pastor of our Spanish congregation. And Tracy is just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. She's a stay-at-home mom in her something-somethings. I'm not going to go through the age, but, you know. She's a stay-at-home mom. She has several children, and she has to run her home and be a godly woman and be wearing many hats, like many moms do, you know, wanting to be there for a husband, keeping romance alive, as well as scrubbing the toilets. You know, it's sometimes hard to go from the one to the other and feeling sorry for yourself and all that. So, Tracy, why don't you share to us some gems about your relationship?
Okay. I have three kids, age 2, 4, and 7. And how many moms of young kids do we have here, toddlers and stuff? Okay, good. As you know, this is a season in our life where we're giving a lot. There's, like Leo was saying, there's not a lot of me time. Bye-bye time at Starbucks to just read a book. No more. And so there was one day my husband came home, and he, you know, sometimes our husbands come home and they have needs too. They had a tough day. They're feeling a little empty, so you need to pour into them and you need to serve them. And then, of course, the physical needs that they have that, you know, we're supposed to meet perfectly, you know. And so I just was like, man, I'm the only fountain of God's love in this home. I'm the only one giving. And I just was like, okay, that's it. I'm just not going to be nice. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm just going to shut down, you know. And I just felt like God was like, if you're the only fountain of love giving to, you know, your husband, giving to the kids, then be the fountain. Just do it. Give and give and give and let, you know, just let that river flow, you know. And that doesn't mean that you won't maybe talk to the other adults in your home, your spouse, and just say, hey, I need your help. You know, confront them and just let them know what the needs are. But if you're it, especially you single moms, if you're the only one giving, just do it. Just be that river. In John 4:14, it says, I will open in you a river of life. And so moms, I just feel like we're in a season where we are an absolute river and we're just got to pour out and pour out. But the key to that, we've got to receive from the Lord. Otherwise, it's going to run out, and you're going to get to a point in the day when it's like, I just gave my last drop, and I'm empty. Crash, you know, you start screaming at the kids, and no more river of love, you know? And so just we got to ask the Lord, how can I receive from you? There's a scripture in Psalm that says, all of my fountains are in you, and you just got to receive from His love. When you know how much He loves you and He treasures you, He's so close to you, closer than you even know, then it's easier to, you know, give to others. And I want to just give one little practical tip. I read in a parenting magazine recently that they have discovered that if you, with just simple eye contact in a child, if you will look at them in their eyes, it will release endorphins in their body. And so that's one great way that you can just pour into their lives, get to their level and look at them in the eye, and it will actually make them happier and release endorphins in their body physically. They've monitored this. And even with your husband, you know, he knows when you're going through the motions. He wants that intimacy. Guys do want that intimacy, believe it or not. They're looking for that, you know. And so just the eye contact, and even in the Bible it says, Lord, let your face shine upon me. Well, then let your face shine upon them, you know, and just give them that eye contact.
When you say eye contact, I see the angry eyes. We all know how to do that.
I'm giving you eye contact.
That's right. So you can measure yourself. If you're a mom in here, no condemnation, but just be honest with yourself. If you were the kid, and I were to ask your kids, Okay, your mommy, in one day, how many times do you see angry eyes? And how many times do you see happy eyes? What are your kids going to tell me?
Or vacant eyes. They see vacant the side eyes. Of your face because you're watching TV.
Ooh, you know? Ouch.
And how many of your babies have grabbed your face and
yes.
just made you? They need that eye contact. And that's one thing about girlfriends I love is that at our table time, we're giving each other eye contact. And it's just physically bringing even, you know, just yeah. good things, health into our life.
You know, that's a good analogy because we sit around tables. So, gather your children around tables. You know, I had my teenagers come to the table and hide the phone underneath, you know. And they may pretend they were part of the conversation and they go under the, and I'm like, put those things away. If you sit at a table, that's a really good time to have that one-on-one time, truly. It's a simple thing, but it's like therapy. My daughter is a medical student. She's doing rotation in psychiatry right now. And she grew up in the ministry, and she grew up with parents and mom that's just in her face. I'm just like in their face, you know? Just like to draw things out, talk to them. And she says she's sitting there and they're learning how to do group and all the support things. And she thinks, well, we've been doing this at my house all my life. You know, what is called therapy today in, you know, the psychiatric world or whatever, is really family. The biblical version of that is let's sit around a table, make eye-to-eye contact as a family and talk to each other. I think that's a beautiful point that you brought out. Okay, next to her is Marie Medina. Marie is also a daughter of the house. She is a pastoral assistant, actually, to my husband and myself, but I've lost her because she's getting so busy with him. She helps me too, but pastoral assistant on staff here at The Rock. And she has an amazing testimony that very few people may know about. She has led a single life until she was 30 years old. So I figured that accounts for something. We want to know what she did in her 20s. How many of you want to know? I'm like, girl, what did you do in your 20s? Were you always this perfect? So, what happened? You got married at 30, and when she married, she immediately had a blended family. Her husband had a daughter, and then they had a daughter also, but she had to deal with, you know, the blended family, his children, and the ex-wife, and then some challenges in their relationship too. And again, it's not that any of us have arrived, but I have seen her walk through deep waters, holding her head up, sometimes just barely the nose showing, right? Have you ever been there? It's just all I can do is just keep my nose where I can breathe and just let God work in her life. So why don't you give us some gems out of your experiences?
Okay, well, unlike Leah, I did not wait for God for, you know, my husband at first. I was, you know, you're in high school and life is great, and I had this plan, and my plan was to be married by 25 and have two children, a boy and a girl, and we'd have this happy house. And, you know, I just had this whole dream and vision, and not waiting on God to fulfill this for me, I went and seeked it out on my own. So at 22, I met this person, this man, and he was not godly. We ended up living together for 7 years. It was not a good time. He ended up being a drug dealer, smuggling drugs back and forth across the border, cheating, lying, being gone for days. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible relationship. And in that relationship, because it was really my first love, you know, when you have your first love, a lot of times it's so different than any other love you have. For me, it was. And so when we separated, I didn't know who I was anymore. Everything I was and everything that I had, I had given to him. So when he left, he took it with him. And I had to fight to get myself back again. Because when we were not together anymore, I thought, how am I going to do it? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to survive? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Well, slowly I began to heal and I began to take back, you know, regain my confidence, and I realized I had been doing it all by myself anyways. Mm-hmm. He was never really there. So here I am now, 27 years old, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to date anymore. It's just no good. Men are no good. Relationships are no good. You know, you go through this whole thing, and I told myself I would not go into the same relationship again. I would not date somebody who didn't care for me. I would not, you know, date somebody who did drugs and did everything, cheating and all the things that he did. I would not give my entire life and heart to anyone ever again. And so I stayed home, and I lived at home with my mom and dad. I moved back home, stayed home, and decided this is just where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I'm just going to stay home, and, you know, who knows, maybe I'll go into becoming a nun or something. Who knows? You know, at that time, you just don't know. And then I was introduced to my husband, who's my husband now, and we dated, and he, you know, I didn't date him. I talked to him on the phone for 2 weeks because I wanted to know who he was, and I wanted to know how, you know, to deal with starting to date all over again. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust him. So I wouldn't even allow him to meet me or meet him so that I could be safe. But talking on the phone was safe because he didn't know, one, where I lived. We could change the phone number if we had to. And
someone has done that in the audience.
You know, you do these things to guard yourself when you've come out of really bad relationships. And when I met him, I just fell in love with him on the phone because of who he was and the things that he would say. You know, just everything that he was, I fell in love with him on the phone. And when we finally met, I'm like, wow, this guy is amazing. You know, so we dated for 3 years. And I, you know, being Hispanic, our culture, and what we did is we could hardly wait till the weekend came, and bam, party time, Friday night after work, party time. Let's party, let's drink, let's do. And so that was normal to me at that time. And my husband, his name is John, he drank a lot. He didn't drink every day, but when he drank a lot. So we've been through alcoholism issues too. And I told him before we got married, I said, I'd never ask you to stop drinking, but when it's too much, I'm out of here. And that was totally wrong for me to feel that way. And so when we got married, of course, like Pastor Eleanor said, he had a daughter. So I immediately became a stepmom. And being a stepmom is a difficult situation at times, too. There's a fine line that you walk because you're not really their mother. And so they have options. And it was hard because my husband, you know, he would overcompensate because she wasn't with him all the time. So those were difficult times. We had to work through those things. And then a few years later, we had our own child, which brought on more issues because now we have a blended family. We have two children, two different personalities. You know, our daughter was with us all the time, so she was safe. It was safe to scold her and to punish her and, you know, to do the different things we had to do. And then the stepdaughter would come in and she'd never get punished for anything she had to do. So then we had to work through those issues. And then shortly after that, I decided his drinking was too much and I'm out of here. And that was a difficult time because I found myself thinking, okay, I got out of this horrible relationship before. And now I find myself in the same place again. Kind of like just walked around the mountain and ended up at the same place. But we worked through those issues. We, you know, he went through AA. He was in a program for a year. And he did it. And he did it for God. He did it for our marriage. And he did it for himself. And it was the difficult thing is that he had to do it for himself. Because I told him, when it's all over and done, I still may not be here. It had gone past that line. You know, some trust issues were gone. We had some very difficult things that we had to move through. We had to go through forgiveness. And of course, you know, he couldn't remember what he did when he was drunk. So all the forgiveness was on my side. I had to forgive him for everything that I remembered, but he didn't remember. You know, so that was difficult. But God, you know, so he got clean, he got sober. Our girls are doing fantastic. We've been married 13 years. He's an amazing man of God. He supports me in everything that I do. He is the spiritual Godhead of our family. His daughter is now in the Navy. She's married. She's doing well. And we have a 9-year-old who is serving the Lord here at the Rock. And I can just tell you that if I didn't have this house, if I didn't have God, if I didn't have the support system and the things that are being preached from the pulpit, the word in season and out of season, we could have not made it through all the things that we have made it through, all the situations, all the oppositions. And there's still opposition, but we're together and we work together to get it done. So, ladies, there is a way out. There is healing that can take place. You can do it. You can do it by yourself, and you can do it with your husband. But you've got to allow God to bring your husband to you. The scripture is that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So you can do what I did, but you'll end up in the situations, you know, possibly the same things, but it's not going to be good. If you wait for God, and things will change. Things will change, your situations will change, and you can be happy, and you can be free.
Awesome. Amazing. Just such a monument of God's grace. Thank you all for sharing. Now we have our beautiful friend of life here. Friend of a lifetime here at The Rock, Pam Espinosa. She's no stranger to most people here at The Rock. Those of you who do not know her, it's sad because knowing her makes you a better person. It truly does. Everybody that knows Pam, I'm sure, can testify of this in this house, that her life is just such a picture of the grace and the beauty of God. And she has not had a life without obstacles either. She has had her share of obstacles. Recently, she gave us her testimony about her battle and her victory over breast cancer. She's had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. She walked through it. She never camped out, never stopped believing, and she walked through it. And she did it like an angel. It was just in her weakness. She was still an amazing testimony. And she's the only grandma on the panel, right? How many grandkids do you have? You're also a grandmother. What was I thinking? Okay. So, Pam, please tell us, you've had to go through stuff, just the changing of the family where the kids grow up and they leave and your nest gets empty and then you figure out, hopefully you're still in love with your husband after raising all those kids. It is a shock, you know, the kids leave and there's only one person left. That's the man. So if you don't like him, you're in trouble. So while you raise those kids, do not neglect the man, because the others are all going to leave you. They're going to go and have their own lives. They are going to leave. And then it's just you and the man. So share with us some gems about your life.
Okay. I've been married for 29 years this year's going to be 29 years. And we got married really, really young. We were like 18 and 19. So I'm not as old as it sounds to say I've been married 29 years, okay? And so we have 3 kids, 28, 26, and 22, and 3 grandkids that are 6, gonna be 4, and just turned 2. So life is fun and very, very entertaining with the little kids. I just want to share, that the Bible says in Psalms that in our old age, and old just meaning not by a number, but being at this stage of my life where my kids are now, you know, grown up, that the Bible says that we will still bear fruit and we will still be fresh and we will flourish. And so, but how do we do that? Because when we're raising our kids, when we're like Tracy's season of life, you as a mom, you really identify yourself with those kids. I mean, for years, it was taking them to school, picking them up from school. Every day, your schedule has to be, it's about taking them to their games, you know, all that fun stuff that you do. And it's exhausting. Well, and in the back of our mind, we always know that God told us that these kids are really His. You know, we're just borrowing them, right? Mm-hmm. It's our job to raise them up. And we're to raise them up to be independent from us, but dependent on God. Right. And so the funny thing is that we blink our eye, and all of a sudden, our kids are now at that stage where it's like, Mom, I want to go to college, and I want to move out, and you know, I'm going to move in with a friend or whatever, they want to get married. And so that was really a struggle for me. And of course, it makes me cry. That's so stupid. It brings back those emotions. Because even though we know we're going to go through it, it's hard to let go with your kids. It's the hardest thing to have to let go from your kids. But we got to remember that we're not letting go. And whoever said that you parent till they're 18 was never a parent. Because as old as my kids are now, I still parent my kids. And I get a grandparent, my grandkids. And so I think one of the biggest things that you need to remember in letting go of your kids is, well, one, if you're married, then you got to keep your relationship with your husband. All those years, you got to go out on dates, and he still needs to be number one, after God, of course. But talking about in your family, he still needs to be number one. I think too many times as moms, we have a tendency to put our kids first. But you know what? Your kids aren't first. Your husband's first if you're married. If you're not married and you're single, your relationship with God is first, and then your kids, okay? You let Jesus be your husband. In this context, I'm talking about my husband because I'm married. But you gotta let God still be God in your life. You gotta still have a relationship with your husband. You gotta go out on dates. You gotta get creative. Sometimes it gets like old. You know what I'm saying? Like, that sounds, I mean, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's a good word. But, you know, it's hard sometimes to think of new things to do, to keep romance fun and to do all of that. But you know what? Do whatever you have to do, because you need to have that relationship with your husband, because before you know it, it's just going to be the two of you. And I say that because now I still have my 22-year-old is at home still. Physically, she lives at home, but she's hardly ever home. So every night, it's my husband and I, mostly every night. But, you know, it's so much fun because now we get to talk about us. You know, it's about us and our relationship. And so with having the kids and keeping that with the kids, one thing that I want to warn of that we went through, I just want to say something that we went through that was kind of hard with our kids leaving the house was my husband has more of a tendency to stand back. Well, he's an adult now. He chose to get married, and so, you know, he knows I'm here if I need him. You know, or she's gone, she moved off, and she knows that I'm here if she needs me. But we still need to be active in their life. There's been times the kids have come to us and said, the older two kids, because those were the first ones we learned off of, was, okay, I know you're here, and I know you love me, but you're, like, always in the background. Like, can we get together? Can we meet for lunch? Can we, you know? So it's very, very important to keep that communication and to keep going on vacations or doing family things with your grown-up kids. Just because they're adults doesn't mean they don't want that time with you. We just did a 50th wedding anniversary for my parents this last weekend, and all of us kids were there, and it was so amazing. All of us kids huddled around my parents looking at all these pictures. You know how beautiful that was? Our kids need that, and they need to see that. If you're married, they need to see that with you and your husband, with how fun that is, and that you're still having fun too, and that they can come around and huddle around you guys, and you're really that core, or you're the hub. You know, the mom really is the hub, and I mean, if we don't make those places, make the occasions for our kids to come back home, have dinner at your house and invite the kids over and just play games, just talk, you know, just do whatever. I know when our kids get together, it's funny. If you go out of Facebook, my daughters are on the Facebook talking about burping and farting. And I'm like, oh, ay, ay, ay. Is my son had to get on there and say, okay, girls, you know, he's like, and I mean, but it's just, you know, it's just fun. Create that time that they can still have memories. And a practical thing I want to say that I did when my kids started moving out of the house was, of course, you know, not spiritual, this is just a practical thing, was I had to change the bedroom right away. Because if I kept the bedroom the way it was, I kept thinking they were going to come back. And so for me and my mindset, I had to change the rooms right away to make that adjustment for myself. So I just want to encourage you to keep that relationship with your husband. Always keep an open door for your kids. I mean, you also have to know one more thing real quick that I want to say is that we raised our kids in the Lord. And, you know, I always thought that, you know, my kids they're always going to serve God. And I always believed that. I really like, in my younger years, I thought, you know, nobody could ever tell me different. But guess what happened? They don't always serve the Lord. And so I have some great scriptures if you're interested. You know that if your kids have grown up and you got one or two that's not serving the Lord or something, with how that we had to push through with that. What I want to say about that is always love them and always communicate. Always have open doors, open arms for your kids.
Amazing, isn't it? Well, at this point, thank you so much. At this point, how many of you have questions on those little pieces of paper? Have you been writing questions? So Sarita's going to come as we're going to continue. You can just hold it. When you have a question, just hold it like this. Sarita and Robin will pick it up. And pretty soon here, we are going to start reading some of that. Okay? So let me introduce you to another wonderful, amazing woman of God. This is Barbara. And Barbara works during the day, but she took the time to come on out this morning because we just love her. We want to hear from her. She's our movie star. She was out on the VPA, the video. Do you remember seeing her in the video in the sanctuary? She gave her testimony. So Barbara has been in the church at the Rock a very long time. She's serving. Also, she's an SPT. Passionately serving in the SPT ministry to the new believers, as well as having a small group, a home group for women in her home twice a month. That has just been a blessing for so many women to get in that close relationship. So she's all about the house of God and serving. She has overcome many things. We've asked her to come and share. I know she's had beautiful... she has beautiful memories of her children and raising them and all that. But she is a woman that has overcome major setbacks, what could be if you don't have God, setbacks in life, because she was married quite a while, a long time, and had a broken relationship. She is single again. She is no longer in a marriage. She had to deal with a husband that decided no more and just walked off. And she has the children. She's also now, of course, a single mom of adult children. She has also, maybe about 3 years ago, had one of her girls had gone to be with the Lord. She is no longer in her present, but she is in her future. And dealing with grief, brokenness, and relationships, and she is just shining the love of God in the process. So, Barbara, do you want to just share with us some of the gems that got you through these things?
I'm really blessed and honored to be here, and I'm listening to these beautiful women on this panel, and I'm thinking about my life and how God has blessed me. But I'm listening to them, and I'm enjoying listening to them, because there are a lot of things that they shared that I've been through. I've tried, not really at that at the time that I was married. I was married 26 years. It would have been 40 years this September that we were married. And we raised five children. My ex-husband, during the time, I'll tell you this, I got married for the wrong reasons. I'm from back east, and he was living out here, and he was a ball player. I know you guys think I'm tall. I got a 7 foot tall son, so I'm short. But anyway, he was a basketball player, and he was working during the summer, and he came back to Michigan, and we met. We met as friends, and no more than that, and but stayed in communication with one another, and he asked me to marry him after about 2 years into our long distance relationship. And I agree, and not really understanding and knowing about the unequally yoked thing. You know, I was marrying for security. I thought, well, he's in school, and he's working on his degree, and he's going to take care of me. And I was pretty independent. I was an art major, and I was pretty independent. I had a great job and owned my own place. But I wanted to get married, and I wanted to come to California. So we ended up, me selling and getting rid of all of my worldly possessions, and I gave up everything and moved to California with this man who was going to be my Prince Charming. During the time that we were married, it was about almost 2 years before we had our first child. He was in school. He continued to go to school. I was working. Actually, I attended school myself. I came out and immediately got in college. And my after I'd finished my first 2 years of college, I got pregnant. In fact, I walked across the stage pregnant. But anyway, I went on from there to stay at home. I was at home for quite a few years with my daughter. And then the kids just started coming, and then he just got one right after another. But my ex was still in school, and he went on, and he got his doctorate, and went on and became a college professor, and I was at home. And I became an entrepreneur. I thought, well, I want to do some things to try to help out with, you know, help out the household. So I got into crafting. I did a lot of things. I had my own business. I've always had a desire to be my own boss. Right now I work for San Bernardino County Probation Department. I'm a probation corrections officer, which I absolutely love. I work with at-risk kids. So for me, my kids are all grown, but I have a whole new generation of kids that are, and I say at risk, you know what I mean? But anyway, I love what I do. But anyway, Ray's, I was at home. You know, he was getting his degree. He started working. We lived in Orange County. He got a position out here. So that's what brought me to this area. And that was probably about 15 years into our marriage. Came out here, make a long story short, because this would go on and on and on. When we started raising our children were all in school, and I was at home. So I spent a lot of time doing the mother taxi. My kids all played sports, so I was everywhere. I was on the PTA. I sat on school site. I sat on all types of committees, very much involved with their growing up and my children. I was very involved with my children and their activities. And again, my ex was working and providing for us. We had a beautiful home in Canyon Crest here in Riverside, and I was comfortable. And then there came that time when the hammer fell, and I'm making a long story short. He just decided one day that he wanted to do other things, and a lot of it had to do with finances. He wanted to do things. He wanted to go places and travel, and our vacations were well thought out, very inexpensive, but a lot of fun because it was a family type thing. But he wanted to travel and do a lot of other things, and so he decided one day that, and I didn't know it, it kind of took me by surprise that he didn't want to be married anymore. So when I was hit with my papers, I was shocked because I wasn't a terrible wife, but I wasn't a great wife either. There was a lot of things that I didn't know because I didn't have a church like I have now where they're teaching us, you know, the role of the woman and the role of the man and how we come together as one and bless one another. And what we do as mothers with our children. So during that time, I was devastated because I didn't go to court. I didn't fight. I didn't sign any papers. So basically, I came away with nothing after raising five children. And that's when I had to really, really seek God. And he has blessed me. I lost my home. I ended up, after raising five children, depending on friends to let me stay with them, I had to get out of a five-bedroom house and get rid of everything. And lost my house, was living with friends. After staying with friends for a while, the Lord blessed me. That was about the time I started here at The Rock. The Lord blessed me and opened up some doors for me, and I ended up getting this particular job that I have, which has just turned my confidence level around. Because a lot of times with women, when you're in relationships with men, your confidence pretty much goes out the window if you're not really strong in who you are in terms of your relationship with Christ. He's the one that gives you confidence. It's not a man. It's the Lord that brings confidence. And you can feel good about who you are as a woman in a relationship that may even be abusive. You just have to really seek God in terms of alcoholism, in terms of, you know, maybe the toilet seat not being put down, you know, goes from one extreme to the other. But he's the one that gives you the confidence. So what happened is thought that that was as much as I could take, you know, as far as the divorce. And I did end up getting a beautiful home. Lord bless me. He promised me that he would take care of me. He promised me. He said that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He said the second half of your life will be far greater than the first half. And that's what's been happening. It's just completely turning around, and it continues. It's a progression. Back in 2007, my beautiful 33-year-old daughter she contracted cancer of the colon. From where? We don't know. She traveled a lot. She's been all over the world. She's a professional basketball player. I don't know. We don't know where it came from. But anyway, she ended up with this dreadful, horrible disease. And we did everything we could. I prayed. I had a lot of people praying with me and for me and for my daughter. She was my best friend. And so when the Lord took her home, I was hurt, but I did not give up my faith. The Lord told me, just like you said, that the kids belong to Him. So if you have kids around and running around and acting, you know, like they're not part of your family, or they don't want any part of you, or they're wayward, they belong to the Lord, and you have to give them to Him. And that's what I was able to do when the Lord reminded me that she was a gift, and I was blessed to have her as my child for that period of time. And I'm okay because I'm here at the Rock, and the Rock has been so supportive of me and my walk. I can't give enough to this church. I can't give enough of my time. I can't give enough of what I have, because when I had nothing, God completely restored me, and He continues to do that to this day. And just the fact that I'm sitting here on this panel is such a blessing. I don't take this for granted. And I want to encourage you women that if you are in marriages that are bad, seek God, because one day we're going to all have to stand before Him and give an account. And you won't be standing with that man. You'll be standing on your own. So just keep your relationship with God first, and He'll bless you. And for those that do have families and your families are in disarray, seek God. That's pretty much all I have to say. I do have one other testimony. I have a son right now. I raised my kids in the Lord too. And you know, you think, this could never happen to me. You know, I'm doing everything right. I go to church. I pay my tithe. This was before the Rock, when I was raising my kids. I'm doing everything I think is right. And I have a son right now that I have not seen in about 2 years that suffers from mental issues. When he was being born, the umbilical cord tied around his throat, and the enemy tried to take him out. And over a period of time, as he grew up, he's a really brilliant young man. He graduated from college, but over a period of time, his behavior began to change. And I said, there's something wrong. So when we talk about generational curses, those are real. You know, you have to really understand that the enemy hates family. Family was the first institution before the church. God created the family. So you have to take your family by force. And that means get on your knees, ladies, and you call forth the word. The promises are here for your family. So I say all that, and I continue to pray for my son, because I know one day God's going to bring my son back to me. In Jesus' name.
Wow. I feel like praying right now.
Yeah.
We're going to continue, but we're just going to stop here for a moment, okay? Is that okay? If you are sitting here and what Barbara just said touched places in your life that you've suffered loss in any way, shape, or form, your heart is broken, if you're in pain, we are girls together, and I see the Spirit of God moving on some of you. We're just going to stop for a moment. We have the time before we continue. We have some other things. So right where you're sitting, you can just lift up your hand. If you just want to lift up your hands. Wow. Wow, ladies. Wow. The Holy Spirit is here. Even if you're listening to this at home, raise your hands. With all these women in this room, oh, Holy Spirit, to your work. Father, you are the one that heals.
Yes.
The broken.
Yes.
The broken heart.
Yes.
Broken relationships. Pain. In any shape or form.
Yes.
So we come to you.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus, and ask you to move upon the lives of these women. Pour out your love, pour out your Holy Spirit, God, right now, in a powerful way, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we are standing on your word that says
You will never leave us.
Yes.
And you will never forsake us.
Yes.
And you also said, with every temptation, you give us a way out because you will not let us be tempted above what we can endure. And Father, there are women sitting here brokenhearted,
yes,
thinking that they are tempted and tried with things that they were not built to endure. And we are not built as women, Father, as weaker vessels to endure all of this.
Yes.
But God, we have you inside of us.
Yes.
So Lord God, stand up inside of every heart and
yes,
be the river that we heard about this morning. Just flood your Holy Spirit like a river
yes,
in every heart in this room
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, we are looking ahead now.
Girls,
as you are bringing your cares to God right now, I want you to let God show you the victory.
Yes.
You have to shift your focus
yes,
from the problem
right,
and fix it on Jesus.
Yes.
Like in the storm we heard the sermon on Sunday, shift. So God, we are now shifting our eyes spiritually away from the situation and looking to
yes,
you, Jesus,
yes,
the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before you endured the cross, despised the shame, Father, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making ever intercession for us. So as we fix our eyes on you, God, we are fixing, we are getting a hold of each promise that is in your word is yes and amen. And we thank you for faith in this house. We thank you for victory now in every life as we choose to see and believe before we feel it. In Jesus' precious name. And every one of you believe that you just got something from God. Just say amen to that. You can give the Lord a hand. Okay. We are going to get to some of... Oh, God is good. I just love it. Just have these moments with God. I'm getting to some of the questions here, okay? We have a lot of questions. We may not get to all of them, but maybe we can post some of them online or on Facebook. Some of you on Women Rock on Facebook. Remember, we have a Facebook page called Women Rock. And if you're not on it, you can go on it, and maybe we can give some of the answers there if we don't get to it today, okay? So I'm going to read this one and see whom of you would like to take this. How can I be supportive to my son if he said he doesn't believe in God? He disowns me. He hates me. He wants me dead. Got married and he didn't tell me. Anyone of you want to take that one? Barbara, while you're at it, did you want to take that one?
Yeah. I can address that because I do have a son that, because of the mental illness, that's his situation. If your son doesn't have a mental problem in that area, then you have to go before God and let that son go. And my son, I don't, like I said, I don't know where he is. I love him. I know that the enemy hates him, but I have decided wherever he is, I plead the blood of Jesus of protection over him. And I ask God to cover him. Because, again, like I said, he belongs to God. You've got to let him go. And you've got to continue to get people to pray for you. Because God does answer prayer.
Mm.
It's his timing. It's not ours. And so if he's saying those things, understand there is an enemy. And the enemy, he comes to rob, to steal, and to kill. So hate is not of God. So if that's coming forth, you
Joanna?
Need to invoke.
Joanna?
You need to invoke what you have, your faith, and you're get to praying in the spirit, get serious and take it by force. Gotta fight the good fight of faith.
Wow. That's some good word there. Let go. Joanna, I don't know if our sister here, do you want us to pray with you? Hey, Joanna, do you want to stay? Okay, Joanna's gonna sit with you. Joanna, do you want to sit with her just for a moment? Or if you want us to pray for you individually, we love to minister to you on an individual basis. You're welcome to stay. Come back, okay? Just going to pray with you and come back. If anybody needs individual prayer, just let us know. We've got girls on standby that can pray for you right now. Okay? Right now, and then you can come back. Wow, she said let go. Oh, that is the hardest thing. When everything is good, it's really hard to let your kids go. But when your heart is broken, to let them go is what God wants of you to do, so God can deal with them, but God will strengthen you. She said the other thing was, look to God, fight the battle spiritually, get those scriptures, read it over him, even when he's not there, and never give up. Because that kid has a battle of his own.
Yeah.
And don't give up.
I brought my son, actually came to this church when he was here in the area. I brought him here and I got him into Breaking Free.
Wow.
And he didn't complete. And I ended up doing Breaking Free twice because it was for me.
Yes.
You know, he never completed. He left and that was the end of that. But the Lord opened up my eyes through that program.
Yeah, that's
great.
Awesome.
Great program.
Yes. That is a program that we have that's available to any one of you dealing with issues. And that boy has some tools. You know, the worst thing for a sinner is to have a praying mama. Because he ain't going to be happy. He is going to be miserable. So don't even think they're happy. I pray for my son in college. And I say, Lord, please save him. Don't let harm come to him, but make him so miserable when he's in sinful situation. Just make him vomit when he sees alcohol before he even tastes it, you know? I pray for him to get sick to his stomach when he's in sinful situations. He's a good boy, okay? But boy, if he gets tempted and tried, it ain't going to be a good experience for him. No. Okay, here's another question. How to move on and forgive from an abusive relationship? Should I look for a godly relationship for the kids' sake before they are grown, for a father figure for them? So this looks like somebody that's been in an abusive relationship that's in the past now, single mom. Is my solution to try to find a father? This is a valid question. And how do I get over the forgiveness and move on? Anyone, if you want to take that one?
I'll take that. If the abusive relationship is with your husband and you're still in the relationship, God's never called you to be abused in any way. If you are out of the relationship and you need to move on, you know, the best thing, again, is to look into your heart. You've got to look into your heart and ask God to heal you, because it's not the abusive relationship. It's not the man you were with. A lot of times we have to change our heart and what we did and how we think not to get back into that situation. You know, because like I said, I was in a drug relationship and then went into an alcohol relationship, never really understanding that both of them were the exact same thing. So you get back into that. The best thing is to get your kids into church, keep them coming, get them healthy. Your kids will drag you to church because they are going to get a lot healthier than you are, very, you know, and faster, because they don't have all the stuff and all the confusion that, you know, we get along the way with our relationships and the baggage. The forgiveness part comes when you actually forgive yourself. You know, you got to forgive yourself. You can't blame the other person all the time, because if you're not in that relationship anymore, then it's not their fault anymore. You're out of that relationship. So now you have to take yourself out of that position. You're not in that relationship anymore. You're not being abused anymore. So you've got to stand up, and you've got to take those issues by force. You know, the Word of God says, not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit. And so forgiveness comes within working with God, and He will show you how to forgive. How to forgive this person that's done these things to you, but most of all, forgive yourself for putting yourself in that position to allow yourself to be treated that way.
Unforgiveness is like cancer, and it will destroy you. Mm-hmm. And when someone offends you, you've got to immediately get that out of you, because it will continue to brood, and then you end up just, you know, in that state. My husband, I wanted to really, the enemy is constantly saying, don't you hate him? Don't you want to do this? You know, God is not a God that would desire that. I have to listen to the Lord. So you're right. It's just, you got to forgive. Yeah. And as far as going out and looking for another husband, I'll be honest with you. I haven't dated. I'm not interested in dating. If God brings...
Barbara, don't you want a husband?
Can we
find you a husband?
If he brings a husband, I'm not looking. If he comes, he's going to have to walk on water.
Did you just challenge God? Because, you know, he works miracles. But it's going to take some kind of a guy to stand next to her, don't you think? I love to meet him. Maybe he's down there somewhere. But yeah, don't... Listen, your kids need a healthy mama more than they need a man just for the sake
right.
of a man.
Right.
That'll make you happy. Oh, please, just
That's
be right. a mom for your kids.
Yeah.
Love your children. They're going to go away and then you can get married again. Unless he walks on water. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, you don't want to get a husband just to have a husband.
Right.
You don't want to get a father for your children just to have a father for
right.
your children. Because like I said earlier, whatever bait you're throwing out there, if you're like, woo, I need a husband, you will yeah. get a husband.
That's
but
right.
it may not be the husband that you want, and it may not be the father figure that you
Ooh,
want for your
right.
children.
So what's the right bait?
The right bait is staying in the Word,
yes.
staying planted, going to church, and meeting somebody in God's will. But first, you need to be complete within yourself with God, and God's going to take care of your children
That's
because
right.
you're
right.
following God. You're going for God, and God's going to intercede for that,
yes.
and He's going to go ahead and take the head of the household,
right.
and He will raise your kids.
Yes.
So don't go looking for a husband. Just to find a husband, because trust me, you don't want what's out there unless it's from God.
Okay, we've got some wisdom here from the mouth of a young woman. I love it.
Amen.
All right, Tracy, did you want to respond? It looked like you heard something. Okay, here's a good one. That was actually, let me just get back. This one says, does God want us to get married or stay single? Listen to this. This is cute. Because of how much time a man needs. That's true. So, briefly, just say something. It's
okay,
kind of
you
what
know
you
what?
Were saying.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you want to get married or stay single because of how much time a man needs?
That's good.
Because it's not necessarily, you know, like God's decision, you know. If you're ready to go ahead and be unselfish and if you're ready to invest the time into a marriage because it is time, it's going to consume your entire life. You know, God's always going to be first, but then He's right underneath that.
Right.
So yeah, it is. It's your life is going to change drastically. And you know what? You are going to have to invest time. Sometimes you don't want to do the things that you have to do. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I really do have a
she
headache.
She doesn't even have children.
But sometimes you're just like, yeah, well, you know.
Yes.
You know, a man has needs and you need
yeah.
to take the time to fulfill those needs.
Yeah. And when you have a man, you're going to have to serve him as unto the Lord. You're going to have to submit. So you want to make sure you marry the one that walks on water.
You know what, Pastor?
So you can submit.
You know what, so think that real quickly. You ladies, don't ever look at, you're beautiful. Every last one of you. The guy didn't make any mistakes. Everybody in here is gorgeous. And you have to see yourselves like that. A lot of times women depend on what the media says and what men think. But you have to think about yourself and how God, He doesn't make mistakes. You're princesses, and you need to carry yourselves like that.
Okay.
And then also, don't just isolate yourself. You need to, we have a singles ministry here. There are things that you can do, get out
okay,
with your
so friends. You have to be looking then.
Well, yeah, you could be. Yeah,
you you're said look, you're not looking.
No, I'm not looking. No, the only reason I say that, I go to support and help them, but I am not
no.
looking, Pastor.
She is active in the singles ministry. Okay, we're working on her. How many steps on the water before we can sing? Okay, I have a question here. We are getting towards running out of time, but this is too much fun, isn't it? Okay, I have some Spanish questions. I'm going to give this to Tracy, and she's going to look it over so long while I have a question for Pammy. Okay? Any ideas for me and my husband? Our anniversary is coming up. We want to be romantic but thrifty. Also, what are some of the things we could do with the kids and husband on a budget? But this anniversary needs to be celebrated. Do you have some ideas, Pam? You've been married a while. You've got to get some good ones in there.
Well, one way is ask somebody else to watch your kids and you guys could stay home. Stay home and get the candles out or go to Big Lots or something, get some candles and make a candlelight dinner. You know, that's a lot of fun, and it's very inexpensive. And you're in your own home, so you can have a lot of fun with that. And go get yourself a little lingerie. You know, you know, sometimes I think we feel stupid. You know, like, oh my gosh, I feel stupid to do this. But, you know, get outside of yourself, because we feel stupid, but your husband, he loves that. So that's something I would suggest, you know.
Okay, so here's how it goes down. You go to Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
And you just look, since you don't want to pay $50 for a bra because you haven't even had food yet. You buy those when you're single or when you really need some help. So
newlywed, okay. When you're newlywed,
so,
right,
yes.
Leah?
So you can go there. Why not? Maybe that's what you need. Take a trip through there, and then you buy nothing. You get in your car, and you drive over to Walmart. They have some. And then you see, you know, comparative shopping. You pick something up that's kind of similar. There's nothing wrong with that. You can just be thrifty that way, okay? And then you have to plan a little bit. Now, us as women, we want the husbands for, just forget it, okay?
Yeah.
You just make it happen.
Right.
Just stop waiting for the man to come riding in on his white horse and sweep you away. You just go get the stuff you need and the candles, and you invite him. You say to him, honey, Friday night, do you have anything going on? And he says, no. You say, okay, you're booked with me. So you go, and I'm talking to myself here. Like, ah! Okay, and then you get your candles, you get somebody to watch your kids, switch. You know, children, say, I will watch yours if you watch mine, family or whatever. And then what do? You set it up.
Well, listen,
nicely.
We just did my mom and dad's 50th anniversary Saturday. And we went into the hotel room, and we put rose petals all over the bathtub, the floor,
oh.
On the bed. We made a heart out of rose petals on the bed. We put candles all by the bathtub. We put candles on the nightstand. We put balloons. We let balloons go up, like a dozen balloons just floating around. We had a little goodie basket because they love root beer and candy. So we put root beer and we put candy. And we got a Martinelli and got two little glasses for them. But these are things that we can do. And it really
that
was inexpensive.
Awesome. Okay, two little
that.
Glasses, Martinelli, okay? A little basket with treats or whatever, or something
yeah.
He likes.
And like,
can you go
you can
see
go
it? No, you're single once. I don't want you to respond.
Yeah.
You're married. Can you see that happening? Can you see that? You can so totally do that. Man, we're going to have some happy men walking around at the Rock.
Well,
just do us all a favor. Treat them well so they be nice, okay?
Well, I was going to say, take his shoes off and massage his feet, you know? I mean,
okay, that costs nothing.
It doesn't cost anything, and it can kind of set the mood. And, I mean, really, they've been working all day. It's the end of the week. Whenever it is, I mean, it's something that we have to get outside of ourselves because we feel stupid doing it. And, like, if he touched my feet, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, because that's just, I don't enjoy that. But, you know, but for him, maybe, he would love that. So that can just set
that's
the mood.
That's awesome, Pam.
Give him a massage. Just
yes.
You do it.
Yes.
And I like what you said. Too many times we wait for our husbands.
Right.
But you know what? Let's start doing for them what we want them to do for us. Because when we start doing it, it's going to get reciprocated.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just start doing it. Give of yourself. Selfishly.
Yes.
Just do it.
Yes. So let's just see some hands. How many of you are going to actually do this? Okay, we've taken a lot of time to tell you how to do it, okay? Put your hands up if you're married, period, if you are married. Okay, this is your homework. And you that are single, come to the next singles meeting at the church. That's as far as we can let you go. Okay, Tracy, you have some questions in Spanish. Is there one that you can address?
Actually, they're both similar. Two moms who have older sons living with them. One has a child, and he's been living there 5 years, and she recently gave him a limit. Okay, 6 more months, and you're out. But she feels really bad. She feels like a bad mom. And so she just wants any feedback on that. The other one has an older son. He's 37, and he said, God doesn't listen to my prayers. He doesn't give me a job. He doesn't let me get into a school. And so he has rejected God. And she just wants some advice along those lines.
Respond on any of them?
Or we can ask someone if somebody with older children.
Maybe someone with adult kids and about okay. setting boundaries and when do you help them, especially if they have a child
okay,
of their own.
Okay, girls, at the end there, how do you set the boundaries with adult children?
I'll take the one with the one where she your children are older, so you can take the other one, but. You do have to learn to set boundaries, and you can't be afraid to set the boundaries. And, you know, they're going to learn to respect that. So it's good. Don't feel bad. We always feel bad. I used to say that mom is spelled by feeling bad, you know, I mean, because we feel bad about everything, you know. But we got to know that, you know, God gave us these children so we can raise them up. And sometimes they need a kick in the butt, and they need to get out there and flap their wings. And they might regret it at first, I mean, be mad at you and all of that. But then they're going to be happy later on down the road. So, you know, if they have a job and they have all these things and they're capable of doing this, then it's good to set boundaries because you still, it's your home. It's your godly home. You still want to have time for you and your husband. And even if you're not married, you just have to do this. It's for, just think about this. You're doing this for your child. You're not doing it for you. And, you know, it's no different than when they were little and we used to spank them. And who felt worse? We felt horrible. But we did it because we had to. That was going to help them. So right now, don't feel bad. Set the boundaries. Give them 6 months and, you know, encourage them along the way. And do what you can to help because... When mine was looking to move out, at first I was really hurt. And then it was like, you know what, I might as well get on board here. So we went out looking for places. And so I just, and months ahead of time, I just went to go to try to help so that my child was able to see really what they're getting themselves into. And so go ahead and set those boundaries, encourage them, and let them know that they can do this and you're doing it because you love them. And let go of that feeling, you guys. It's a lie. You're not, you're fine. You're doing this because you love them.
And get some support from girls in the house. There are other women that have gone through the same things. Get into a place where you are not alone because there's wisdom in godly counsel. So that you are surrounding yourself with other women of God that can help you through that, even if it's difficult.
On that other, she had another one. Real quickly, as far as your son rejecting God, that's on him. It really boils down to that's on him. If you've done, don't feel guilty about that. Don't internalize that, because as long as you are in the Word, you're here in church, and you're doing what God has told you to do, then you turn your kids over. This is where faith comes into play. You really have to believe that God can deal with him. Don't let him see you get offended, because God's word doesn't get, you're not offended in his word. His word is perfect. And when someone says something that's offensive to me, I don't even receive it. I cut that off. You can't tell me that God, what God cannot do. Okay. So you just pray for them and give it to God in faith.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we are going to give you one more, Tracy. Here's one with little ones. How do you handle a child who is 3 years old and is having a meltdown for no reason? How do you handle this in a godly way? And when is it appropriate to use the rod? So we have a three-year-old. Usually it's because they don't get their way, isn't it? It says here, for no reason. Can you identify with that? Or just tell us what you think about this question.
The big thing is, where is it happening, I think? If it's happening at home, then you can take some drastic measures.
Okay, tell us the home version and the store version.
Yes, good one. Well, the home version is, maybe you feel like it's just over nothing. I want that cereal and not that one. So it could be several reasons. Maybe they're cranky for physical reasons. They're hungry, so they're just crazy. They can't even think straight. They're hungry, they're tired, they're cranky. But if they're getting spoiled, then you need to use discipline. If you know, like, you know what, this is becoming a habit, you know, no more excuses, then you need to just talk to them clearly. Make sure they're hearing you. Maybe they're crying. And say, if you don't stop, we're going to have to, and then whatever word you use, and you use the rod. Pastor Jim has, I just appreciate the wisdom, a little switch from a tree. That's all you need. And you can never overdo it with a little switch. You can't hit too hard because it's so thin, but it hurts like the dickens. I mean, if you do it on yourself, you're going to go through the roof. It really hurts, but it won't injure them. And so you just let them know, and they might test you on this a few times, but they need to know that when you say it, It doesn't matter if the phone starts ringing. It doesn't matter if it starts raining. I mean, it doesn't matter. You are going to take them to the bathroom. I take my kids to the bathroom or wherever you want to do it. And you are going to give them one. And if they resist you, that's two. And if they don't cooperate, that's three. So they know, and you're explaining this, I think 3 years old is old enough to understand that, you know. And, but I just want to add one little thing. And that is what I was mentioning before. You need to have that time with the Lord where you really are hearing from Him. He is going to give you wisdom for each one of your kids. I had a three-year-old. He just turned four. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to be a little more gentle with him, not so much of the physical stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, and it makes sense because he is Mr. He loves the physical hugs. And I just knew that the Lord was showing me that that was a little tough. God will speak to you and give you ideas. So with him, what works, yesterday I threw away one of his Hot Wheels because he wouldn't pick it up. He had a whole bunch of them. And I said, you see this? It's going in the trash. Now, this was after several times. Come on, clean up, come on. And you have to get creative. So I said, okay, watch. And it dropped right into the trash, and we did not take it out. And I said, if you don't clean these up, we're going to just keep putting more in there, you know. And so you got to get creative. There might be some things. So see if it's something physical. They just can't even think straight because they're so hungry or so tired. Then help them with that.
Or you are hungry and tired.
That too. There are times I have postponed.
You get mean when you're hungry and tired.
So. Yeah, I won't do the discipline until I get my coffee or my breakfast or something. I'm like, hold on. I'm going to just freak out. Let me get something to eat, and then we deal with it. So you got to be smart. But you can be creative
and
with the
discipline.
In the
store, quickly, just really briefly, what
okay.
do you do in the store?
And in the store.
We've all seen those kids.
Yeah.
They fall on their backs, and they scream.
This might be a stage where you don't get all your shopping done. You leave your cart, and you take everybody home, and you find another way, or you buy what you have. And I have, in those times, I have taken them to the bathroom and stuff. And then those times you have to know what works for that child when they're really young. Probably nothing, because whatever. I know in the store we bring a lot of snacks because they get cranky if they're hungry. And it's tough in a store. It's tough. You might have to leave early. But sometimes I'll say, okay, he loves to watch TV. So I'll say, no TV for the rest of the day. And then you have to actually do it. It's hard. They're bored. I want to watch TV. No, if you do one day or 2 days, and they know you, they don't watch any TV. When you're in the store the next time and you say, if you don't stop, then no TV for the day. They know what it feels like. Oh, okay, we experienced that one, you know. And that one really works. But it takes so much work. That age is really tough.
God bless you as you go and be these amazing women of God. Listen to this. Is it okay to treat your boyfriend as a husband? I give and cater to him as if he's already my husband. I treat him how I want to be treated. Treating him how you want to be treated is a godly principle, but it's applied in the wrong way. I'm just going to end with this scripture. Last night we had an amazing sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. And Pastor Paul briefly remarked on it, and I don't want to do doom and gloom, but there is this situation, living with your boyfriend as with a husband, is mentioned in the Bible. So let me just read it to you in Galatians 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now listen to this. Here goes the works of the flesh in contrast with the fruit of the Spirit in the same chapter. The opposite of the fruit of the Spirit is the works of the flesh. Here it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Adultery is sexual relationships outside of being married. You are married. And you are now having sexual relationships with someone else. The next one is fornication. Fornication is sexual promiscuity, is a sexual sin. It is having sexual relationships outside of being married. God's way and God's word and God's blessings follow His ways and His will. So His ways and His will is for you to be married. No ringy, no flingy. We hear that here. You are damaging yourself, not as let me explain that, you're harming yourself. Because you are not helping yourself in your relationship with God. Many things we can say, but I just want to read you this. It says, adultery, fornication is sex outside of marriage. It's sin, according to the word. Uncleanness, lewdness, this is sin of arrogance. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not me saying this. I'm just reading it from Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Which means if you walk in the lust of the flesh and you are involved in those first list of things we know, you cannot display the fruit of the Spirit. So when you try to display the fruit of the Spirit while you walk in the lust of the flesh, the root of the problem is that you need to get out of the flesh, you need to get out of sin, and you do not have to fix yourself. You come to Jesus. You come to the Lord. Accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior and make room for Him in your heart. And these things, if you have a lifestyle like this, is not going to make you happy. It's not going to please you anymore. It's not going to bring fruit in your life, no matter what you do. So that first things first. So I hope that just explains the part of fornication. It is God's will that you get out of that relationship and get healthy. And I know you may need to come for spiritual guidance to one of the pastors. That we would love to sit with you, talk to you, give you guidance as to how to do this when you find yourself in an ungodly relationship and you're stuck. Okay? We can help you in that sense. So it was amazing to spend some time with you. I'm going to do my best. Some of these questions have been addressed to certain ones. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to dish out all these questions to these five amazing women and let them answer it to me, email it back to me, and we will go through it and give you a scripture on it and post it online. Is that okay with you? And you can go find us online. We would love to continue to minister to you. We have kept you sitting for a long time. Did you receive anything? Thank you so much to each one of you brave souls up here. And may God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you as you continue to be a testimony to God's greatness and goodness. Let us pray as we dismiss. Why don't you stand up? Just stretch those legs a little bit. And we're going to pray and just send you off with the blessing of the Lord. Thank you for coming today to Girlfriends, okay? Stretch your hands to the Lord. Thank you, God, that we heard today that truly to have your blessing on our lives, which you want to bestow on us, we want to come in line and do things your way. So thank you for the truth, Lord, the truth according to your word and the truth according to your gospel that was spoken here today. And the truth is the truth and remains the truth. And that we will be making that a part of our lives. And even if we don't see anything yet, in faith, we are going to start doing these things that your word expects of us. Because faith without works is dead. So help us, Lord, to see in each of our lives what it is. What is the next step of faith that we need to take to honor you, to come in line with your word, and to be blessed. Thank you, Lord, that when we are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So everyone in Christ Jesus is not condemned, but you want to help us to grow up, grow strong, be healthy, and have families that work according to your principles so that we can be blessed. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity, if you are here just a second, if you, when I said, if you have given your life to Christ, If you have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in your life, and you are not sure, and when I said that, you felt uncomfortable, that you don't know maybe what that means, or you are not sure that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in your life, we want to invite you. You can come up. These ladies will minister to you right here. Let's make sure today. Why would you leave if you are not sure that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Because without Him, none of these things you can do, because you're gonna give up. But when you have Christ in you, nothing is too hard for you, because it's not you alone, but Christ in you that is going to empower you to do His will. We love you so, so much. And we want to see you blessed. We want to see you happy as single, happy as married. We want happy husbands. We want happy children. So just go and be God's girls. God bless you.